Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Baba Basra Daf Tzadi Dalet Baba Basra 94. And back on the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis 93b, the Mishnah had stated that one who sells produce to their friend, Hamocha Peris Lechavero, Hareza Mikabel of Rova Tinofes Laseya, that there's the understanding that if you purchase an amount of produce that you really have also taken upon yourself to purchase one quarter of a tinofes for each seah, which is, Gemara will explain that if you're buying wheat, there's the understanding that some beans have come in with it, and the amount is a rova of a kav for a seah. There are six kavin in a seah, and so therefore this is 1/24 of a seah. So if you have purchased wheat, there's an understanding there are 1/24 impurities will come into the produce that you have purchased. Comes along the Gemara on Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph, and Rav Huna explains that if you notice, if you're the purchaser and you notice that there is actually more than 1/24 impurities in the produce that you purchased, then in Balanafos Minafes Kulo, that if once you're going to start filtering it all out, then you're not only allowed to filter it down to the 1/24 limit, but you could filter out all the impurities. Meaning once the person has gone over, then we take out all the impurities and we don't leave him the permission to leave in 1/24 of impurities in the produce. So the Gemara wants to know, why is this the case? There are some who say that Rav Huna's principle is based upon the fact that is a kenas, and there's some who say that it's based upon the dina. What does it mean that it's a kenas? Kenas is a penalty that we say that it's common that there is 1/24 impurities, but if there's more than 1/24 impurities in the produce, then it's obvious to us that he mixed it in. And v'kivin da'arev kansa rabbanan b'kulei. And since he mixed it in, then the rabbis penalize him, and they say he no longer can keep any of it in. That is the theory that it is a kenas. The other theory of Rav Huna's principle is that it is a dina, that we say that this is the actual law, and we say that we're going to leave in up to 1/24 impurities because a person is not going to come and spend his time filtering out the impurities. But once he has started to filter out the impurities, kiven de tarach tarach b'kulei, then he can filter out everything. And so that is not based upon that we're penalizing the person, but is based upon the basic principle. So the Gemara is going to present a series of challenges to the idea that it's either a kenas or a dina, which one it is, from the Mishnah and from Brisos, from different places in Shas. One of the challenges that the Gemara raises, actually this comes from a Mishnah in Bava Metzia. The Mishnah can be learned either way. One way that the Gemara wants to suggest is that it's a kenas, and the other way that the Gemara wants to suggest is that it's a dina. So first, the Gemara challenges the idea from this Mishnah that it is a kenas, because the case in the Mishnah in Bava Metzia is that two people came along and deposited money with a person. One person deposited a mana, the other person deposited matayim. So one person deposited 100, and another person deposited $200. So then they both, however, claim that they each deposited the $200. So the first position in the Mishnah in Bava Metzia is that we give each one $100, and the rest we say is left until Elijah comes. So we see from there in that case that we do not penalize them. We do not apply a kenas. So why in this case should we be applying a kenas? So we see that maybe it is a dina in our case that we do not allow the person 1/24, because in that case we don't penalize them even though clearly one of the people there is lying. So the Gemara says no, the two cases are totally different. There's a distinction between the two cases. There in that case certainly each one has the entitled amount of $100, because each one at least gave $100. But here in this case, who's to say maybe he didn't put the entire impurities in himself, and so therefore we are able to understand why the rabbis would place a kenas upon him in this case and say he's not entitled to include any impurities. So therefore, the Gemara rejects that challenge to the case that says that it is not a kenas. What about the idea that this comes along the next position in the Mishnah, and there is Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi argues with this, because he says if we're going to give each one $100, imkein ma'ev sida ramayv. Well, in that case, what is the guy who's lying? He loses nothing. And so therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, no, in that case, neither one one gets any money, and we leave it till Elijah comes, and Elijah will say who the money belongs to. So basically, the rest will be left until Elijah comes. So the Gemara says, doesn't this seem to prove that in the case... Doesn't this seem to prove that in the case of our case of impurities, that in that circumstance we say that it is a kenas, because in this case they're fining him and they're not getting anything. So too in the case of the impurities, we see they have the right to fine him. So the Gemara says, no, the cases are again totally different that we could distinguish, because in the case of the 100 versus the 200, for sure somebody is lying and therefore we could penalize him. Whereas in the case of the impurities, it's not clear that somebody is lying, and so therefore why would we think we have the right to penalize him, and so therefore maybe it's a dina and not a kenasa. What does the phrase vashar munach ad sheyavo el Yahu mean? So the Chida says it means that it proves that a Navi has the right or has the ability to understand the mitzius of a matter. The Navi can determine what exactly happened. Even though the Rambam says a Navi can't come and make a new law because the laws are not in the heaven, we see from here that a prophet can tell us what exactly has occurred. Rav Yaakov of Astra says differently. He says, no, what does it mean Elijah's going to come? Elijah's going to come and he's going to teach us the Torah to such a great degree that nobody will want to lie. And the person who is lying will admit his mistake and therefore will know the true law in the end.